Hi everyone, I'm Jenna Milley with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with Nick Stoller and Justin Theroux, who co-wrote Zoolander 2, starring Ben Stiller and Kristen Wiig and Owen Wilson. Hi guys.
Hey Jenna, how are you?
Great. Thanks so much guys for taking the time. So excited to talk to you. I thought the movie was so funny. I loved it. I'm a huge fan. Yeah, it was hilarious. I went to see it with a bunch of journalists and everybody was just laughing and cracking up. So my first question for you is, this is a question I don't get to ask a lot, but how do you write to a cameo? Because there's so many great cameos. And for me, that was so much about the experience of watching it. Can you talk a little bit about how you do that as a writer, if you're not sure if someone's going to be in the film or what, how you go about that?
There was a couple that were definitely baked in cameos that were sort of must get, cameos that if we didn't get them, it would be really disappointing. And then there were others that were just kind of, you know, not interchangeable, but there were people that, like, if we had a sort of a list of, like, we'd love to get this person, and we kind of got we were pretty lucky. There was no firm no's. It was really just about working with their schedule.
So once you know who it is, you're writing, were you already writing those characters for the cameo actor, or had you a rough idea of what the story was going to be and who might, it seems like a puzzle that's tough to put together.
Actually, I mean, some of them, Bieber was always one that we wanted, Sting was always was a must have, so if he had said no, that would have been difficult, but for some of the other ones, once you find out who it is, then you can sort of write to their voice, before they get there.
Yeah, usually with cameos, a lot of, where it's, one line or two lines, it's always at the last, usually things fall into place at the last minute, and you're just kind of writing something very quickly.
And did you guys co-write together, or one after the other? What was your process like on this one?
We meet a lot, and then kind of, when we were sort of forming the thing, and then we kind of would Mad Lib or Exquisite Corpse it. We'd sort of pass around a document, or everyone sort of get their time with it, and then we'd meet again, and then we'd kind of yuck it up over coffee or at the office, and then
we wrote it over I started working on it over 10 years ago. And the crazy thing is that it was just, it really was the four of us kind of passing it back and forth between us, So we all had a lot of time to kind of think about it and just say, and then we would all meet together and riff on it, and then one of us would take it or two of us would take it, but it was a long development process, but also with the same people writing it, so it never diluted the voice of the comedy. And obviously Ben is, it's his character and all of that, and so that was having him, being the captain of the ship certainly helped.
And where do you start with the plot when you're, you got to follow up this movie? So, I mean, I still hear people quoting the first one all the time. Where do you begin? Do you write for the fans, or are you just trying to make yourself laugh? Or, I mean, how do you get started?
The first draft I worked on was just a series of funny scenes, so it wasn't, the plot didn't click in until years later. And I was just a fan of the first one, so I kind of I don't even know if I could separate, because I had nothing to do with the first one, and I was just a fan and loved it. And so when I started talking to Ben about it, I couldn't believe I was given the opportunity to work on it, and I was writing from a real fan place. So.
Yeah, I think we're all definitely fans of the first one, so in a weird way we're writing for ourselves and for all the other fans of it. But I never really felt that weird pressure, we gotta really, once we kind of struck on sort of what is the movie now, the themes and that sort of Da Vinci Code-esque plot line, and then it got just fun, because then you're getting to write for some of your favorite characters, and it just became highly enjoyable for the most part.
Well, there's so much, there's so many funny parts, and there's so much absurd, silly comedy. Did you ever, in a meeting go, we have to pull back? Or was it just let's throw whatever is funny and see what happens. Because
let's go with whatever's funny. And they're weirdly hard characters to go over the top with. You know what I mean? I mean, it's possible, but you know, Ben's a pretty good. You know, Ben is Derek Zoolander, so he knows maybe going off the rails.
Yeah.
You know, so he knows where to steer it. You know, but yeah, I mean, we took some. You know, we thought some big swings. You know, and you know, a lot of it worked. You know, so I can't really think of anything that we were like, no, that's insane. Like, you know.
Yeah, like, weirdly, like, once the plot kind of clicked into shape, like, as long as you, like, care about what the characters are doing, and, like, you care, like, I think people, as long as you care that, like, Derek's going to make up with his son, and, you know, like, that, like, then you can just basically do whatever you want, you know? Until that stuff was in shape, then it was a little all over the place, but once all of the kind of the plot stuff clicked in, it started to, then you can go insane. People want that, you know?
Yeah. It became even funnier, I think, as time elapsed.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, in the first draft, he was trying to, you know, find his 4-year-old son or 5-year-old son.
Yeah.
He was looking for a tween, you know.
Well, I love the son character, and I absolutely love the hipster designer. That was my favorite, like, new character. I just cracked up at everything. I want to see those scenes again because they were so much funny, like making fun of hipsters, which is such a fresh thing to do. How did you come up with these side, like, subplot characters? Was that just more brainstorming going back and forth?
I think part of it was out of plot and death, or, you know, just the realities of them having been out of the fashion industry for 15 years and the world of when the movie was made being so wildly different from the world that we live in now. You know, the internet has exploded, social media wasn't even a thing. And someone had to sort of represent the voice of that thing. And so Kyle's character, Donatari, sort of became a necessary character.
That was an amazing thing, too, because I hadn't been involved for, like, I mean, again, this has been a 10-year process. So I don't think I'd been involved with it for, like, 2 years. And I remember getting the script and reading Donatari and laughing so hard. I was like, this character's incredible.
ironized hipster who doesn't know when he's being sincere or not.
Oh my gosh.
That too, it sucks.
That was so funny.
And Kyle Mooney is such a genius. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, he's so good.
Oh my gosh, I loved it. I want a movie with just him. Like, his backstory should be like another.
You gotta follow his Instagram. Have you been following his Instagram? It's incredible.
Oh no,
I gotta follow that.
That's.
Yeah.
But they're really funny videos and stuff.
Oh my gosh, it's awesome. So how much, once can we talk maybe a little bit about filming? Are you on set during filming? Are you doing changes? Or what's that like as a writer? I know, Justin, you play a role in the movie. I think I saw you.
Yeah.
Is that like you just jump in, or did you always know you were going to do that? Or what's it like when you're filming?
I mean, he was a character in the first one, so we thought it'd be fun, you know, essentially a cameo. Although I did have I was working on a TV show at the same time we were shooting and going back and forth. And I was scripted in the third act to return, but I had to I wasn't able to be there for shooting. So I did the awkward thing of having to write myself out of the script.
That's not something you want to do.
No. Well, I couldn't. I had to.
So are you... Nick, were you on set, or are you working with the actors and they're like, hey, I've got this idea, or how does it work with the improv? Because you have so many great comedians. There are so many ideas.
No, I was never on set. I really wanted to be there in Rome, but I couldn't be there. And so, I wasn't. I was just involved in the decade-long writing process. But I wasn't there in the shop. Yeah, I was just around for 10 years, and then I wasn't there.
Did you get notes at any point from
Nick for 10 years?
That's right.
When was that?
Do you how do you handle notes then, or how did you handle 10 years of changes?
Badly. Really badly. I mean, I really freak out and get really upset.
Part of what's really good about this group was that, you know, no one's precious about their writing, and you know, the best joke always kind of wins. So it's that thing of, you know, and, you know, there's times where you'll fight for a joke, you know, and go like, and then repitch it or try and reword it. But notes are notes. They're just a necessary part of the process.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, and also Ben really knows, I mean, he made the first one, he really knows it, so it's not, you know, if he has a, if he's like, I'm not sure about that, there's usually, he always has a good reason. And it was like a, it was like a kind of, it was the 10-year process was so, was oddly luxurious. We didn't feel like a pressure. Usually you have to like rush to get your script ready for the like shoot, you know, and it didn't, it never felt like that just because, you know, between movies, you'd be like, what about this? And you'd go back into it and we'd all kind of meet or talk about it. And it was, you know, and also these characters are so funny and the world's so funny. It's like, you know, I could keep writing it, you know. That's,
yeah, I know. It's sad to kind of put a period on the end of it.
Yeah.
Is there any talk of a third one? Do you have any ideas, like, for something, for another plot line?
No.
You don't have 10 more years?
Should we start pitching? Really? Now the time to start just coming up with
them. Yeah, we can start pitching.
Let's start pitching up.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things that we're not, I don't think there's any appetite on this end to make a third one right now, because we're all just kind of breaking the tape on this one. But if there was a reason, or if it, it would have to be a really good idea.
Yeah. Or just, or an okay idea. Like a mediocre, honestly, I would start working on it if it was just like a mediocre to not great idea.
I would, and his bar is much higher. I would just start if it was a poor idea.
Yeah.
I just try to massage it.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Get me one more question.
Okay. How about, can I ask you each your favorite moment of the movie? Just get everybody excited about it. What's your favorite scene that you can't wait to see audiences react to?
I love the third. I mean, it's not like one scene, but the third act sequence is just, I just love it. I love the whole thing. Like, I just think it's amazing. And where it goes is amazing. So that to me is my like favorite part of it. Which is, like, never true of comedies, by the way. By the end of a comedy, you're just like, I'm done, you know? And, like, in this movie, it just gets better and better. Like, anyway.
I like, and this was a case of where we went over the top and then over the top again, but I really like the prison, the entrance of Mugatu.
Oh, yeah.
And that scene, and the way that scene plays out. That was one that I felt, like, came out well.
Awesome, guys. Well, thanks so much for the time, and I hope to talk to you both for your next project, and congratulations. I thought it was hilarious.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.